The play-in begins tomorrow between the 7th and 8th seed of each conferences. Up first is the Atlanta Hawks and the Miami Heat on Hoop Talks. Welcome back to Hoop Talks, you guys. I'm your host, Noor Zainab, Jelani Goodridge-Reed, Justin Pooney, and the festivities begin tomorrow in the NBA play-in fashion. We're going to see the Atlanta Hawks and the Heat take on at 7 p.m., and then right after that, it's going to be the Wolves and Lakers at 10 p.m. Eastern. I feel like a lot of people that didn't like the play-in tournament are now coming around knowing that this is like March Madness style, you know? Like, what? Justin,
I don't know that far.
It's a little bit, guys. But I feel
what you're saying.
You
yes,
know? It's a lot's riding on it. The pressure's there.
I think because the NBA, the roll onto the load management epidemic that's stricken the NBA games. Right, nobody care. Players and everybody openly say the regular season doesn't mean anything. Right now, to finally have games that mean something where your season is over. I think that's what's most exciting, is that there's actually meaningful basketball going to be played.
Well, I think it's also showing us that the deterrence to tanking is working. All these teams that could have actually tanked are now like, you know what, man, we're close enough. You might
Mavericks
as well make the push.
The Mavericks,
they waited until the last game of the year to be like, actually, we're going to be sitting these guys. But look at the Raptors. They could have been tanking, but they chose not to. Speaking of the Raptors, they do take on the Bulls on Wednesday, so we'll be back to talk about that. That actually is more of an elimination style game, like March Madness, because one loss and you're out. But for us today, it's going to be the Hawks and the Heat take on tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. The Heat actually have the home court advantage there. The game will be in Miami, and the winner of that will advance to the playoffs. So, guys, I'm going to leave this super open-ended. Jelani, who's winning this?
Miami. And look, I'm a huge Trae Young fan. I love Trae.
We know.
I don't like these reports saying that the Hawks are trying to trade Trae. That was by Kevin O'Connor, I believe. But yeah, I like him a lot. But I just think the Hawks, man, this year has not been it for the Hawks, man. Yeah. We understand what's happened with their coaching situation and how McMillan, that thing didn't work out. Quinn Snyder, good coach. He's there now. But I still see so much inconsistency with Atlanta. They are the definition of an average team. They are.
Well, they're 41-41.
Yeah. And if you're looking at like how their wins and losses have gone out throughout the year, it's been tough. So I think in this spot, you're looking at a guy like Jimmy Butler, right? You know what is going to happen. In games that matter the most, he always shows up, right? Yeah. So that's a guy I could look at and I could say, yeah, I trust Jimmy Butler for sure. And I think an X factor in this game is going to be Tyler Hero. I think if Hero could give me 20+, right, which we've seen him do for the last 8 games, he's been over that mark. He did touch 30 against Toronto, by the way. I know, albeit without Jimmy Butler, so we have to show up. But yeah, he's been able to score. I think if Tyler Hero could, you know, provide that spark offensively along with Butler, along with what the other guys could do like Bam, I think it's gonna be a long night for the Hawks. So we'll see what happens. I also want to say this real quick before I give it to you guys. The Hawks, they have trouble with the Heat. They really do. And I'm looking at Trae Young, who I mentioned earlier. He has troubles with Miami. Miami knows how to cover this man. Okay, Eric Spoelstra, he has the game plan to limit him. Okay. Yeah. Against a lot of other teams, Trae will shoot at a high clip. Not against the Heat, okay? 19% from downtown, all right, over the last stretch of games that he's played against them, and 33 from the field, or 34 from the field. That shows you all you need to know, right? The Heat know how to cover this man.
If you look at the last year, the playoff series they had, where I think the Heat won 5 games, they know Trae was held to 15 points per game on 31% shooting. They blitzed him every time they could get. And that's why I think DeJounte Murray is going to play a big role in this, because you know they're going to throw bodies on Trae. How does DeJounte, can he score on a one-on-one situation? Can he create his own offense? Okay, they have guys like DeAndre Hunter, you know, Bogdan Bogdanovic, right? They have guys that can score, but it's the Trae is going to be the focal point. Are they going to center everything around him? Because, you know, he, again, kind of an all NBA year this year, right? You know, Trae is averaging 26 and I think it was 10 assists a game, right? That's, you know, all NBA numbers. And again, I think with the Hawks was after that 2021 Eastern Conference Finals, where I'm like, okay, what, you know, maybe there's something here in Atlanta cooking that, you know, they can maybe break through and join, you know, the ranks of the elite of the Eastern Conference. And I, you know, me and you both thought that they had a chance to really take that step with the addition of DeJounte Murray and become, you know, an elite Eastern Conference team. And the up and downs, we've heard a lot about Trae's character and his lack of leadership in the locker room. And that could be the key as to why they might want to move off of him, have a true leader in the building. But again, I think Atlanta has a chance to win this game. I think the 5 points is a little too big for my liking, especially for a team in Miami that has the one of the worst offenses in the NBA, right?
You know, I was thinking that. I was giving the edge to Hawks here, just given the offensive game that they have, obviously, and Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. You've got John Collins. You have DeAndre Hunter, all those guys. And Clint Capella is a pretty nuisance presence in the paint, too. But I was looking it up, and the Hawks and Heat are actually very similar when it comes to their offense. When it, 3 point, Hawks 35%, Heat 34%. Field goal, Hawks 48%, Heat 46%. Free throw, Hawks 78%, Heat 83%. The only thing that's stopping them there is a point scored, where the Hawks score about 118 points per game, but the Heat score 109. But I think in that level, you are going to give the edge to the Heat just because of their defensive wells there. And you've got Bam there, who can pretty much neutralize anybody in the paint. And Butler's good at that too. We saw Udonis Haslem had his great game against the freaking Magic the other night, you know, where Duncan Robinson also came through. So I'd be kind of worried if I'm the Hawks here.
I would be worried, just because if you're looking at it, the last like 10-ish games or like 9-ish games where they've played these guys, they just don't have success against them.
Yeah.
All right. Miami's 7-2 against them last night. Right. And then if you're looking at this season, you know, in the grand scheme of things, they've won three of those games, right? Three mm-hmm. of four. That's Miami. So,
and three at home.
That's right. All so I think here, if you're obviously somebody that's betting or looking at this game, you're going to lean towards a Miami, right? In this mm-hmm. spot. I'm not going to say that Atlanta's going to fold. I think it's going to be a close game. That's my expectation. But the way that Spoelstra finds a way to get the ball out of Trae Young's hands to make him uncomfortable, I think this could be a spot where the Hawks struggle. Because if Trae doesn't, let's say Trae doesn't, you know, have a good game, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to look at, obviously, like Justin said, DeJounte Murray. Does he show up? Who else is going to, you know, pick up the load offensively? And then when you're looking at defense, because remember, defense is very important here, the Hawks do not have a great defense either. All right? Since All-Star break, they're sixth worst in the league defensively. So I'm looking at that too. Let's say Miami has a good shooting night, right? And they've been playing a bit better as of mm-hmm. late, Miami. They're, yep. They're you know, on the come up slowly, mm-hmm. right? And I know it's so late in the year to be playing, you know, good basketball, but they're finding a way to shoot the ball better. So let's say they do that, mm-hmm. you know, come this game, it's going to be tough for Atlanta to win the game.
To be honest, like, if you look at, like, I have the games played for the Miami Heat, some of their most prominent players, right? And they have the fact that they were, what, 6 games above 500 this season for the amount of man games they lost.
Yes.
Look, Jimmy played 64 games. Bam played 75, which is the second highest on the team behind Max Strus, who played 80. Tyler Hero played 67. Kyle Lowry only played 55 games. Victor Oladipo only played 42 games, mm-hmm. right? The fact that they're missing all these players and that Eric Spoelstra and this Heat culture still got them to, yeah, the seventh seed, but they were 6 games above 500. You know, they were battling with Brooklyn until the last couple games to get the number six spot. This team has been playoff tested. They know how to win when the games matter the most. Atlanta has been a major disappointment this year. They have the firepower. Absolutely. They have the names and the firepower to compete with them. But I think that Heat culture is just so important, especially this time of the year, right? And I think if they face Boston, I'm not saying they're going to beat Boston, right?
No,
but
it would be a
they
tough
can
series.
Make it very it tough on tough Boston, series. Which then in a second round series against a Philly, right, could be an advantage for Philly, because Philly's going to wax Brooklyn, right? If they face a beat-up Celtics team, because the Heat play physical, they play tough defense, that could really help out Philly in the second-round series. So I think this could be this potential Boston and Miami first-round series could really have an impact on the remainder of the Eastern Conference playoffs.
I feel about
you're
that.
You're a Celtics fan.
Still, no, it's not just that. It's just the fact that I think when you talk about how the Heat have struggled, so have the Hawks. There are two teams that we expected them both to be doing way better at this point of the season. They should actually have been in the playoff picture and not fighting in the play-in spot. But in that moment, too, I'm like, yeah, they're better than the Hawks, but are they still a better team overall? Like, do they even look like what we kind of thought they would be last year? But that's another, well, I think we'll figure that out tomorrow. I do want to ask before we quickly go, there's three guys on the court tomorrow night. But in that game in Miami, between Butler, DeJounte Murray, and Trae Young, who's the best guy on the court?
Butler. I think he will show up because it's a game that matters the most, right? It's a game do or die. Obviously, they could, you know, if they lose, they could play another game. But I'm saying when the pressure is there, Jimmy Butler has showed up. I've seen that before. I've seen it in conference finals. I've seen it in NBA finals, right? I've Jimmy Butler.
Well, I agree with you. Jimmy Butler is the most battle tested, the most proven playoff guy on the court of everybody. But Trae Young has the ability to just take over games and put up monster stat lines. So, yes, I think Jimmy Butler tomorrow will be the best player on the court, but it would not shock me at all if Trae goes for 27 and like 15 assists, right? That would not surprise any of us in the Atlanta Hawks win.
Well, for something that was so heavily criticized, the play-in has taken a lot of people by storm. Starting tomorrow at 7:30 p.m., we'll see the Atlanta Hawks take on the Miami Heat in Miami. And whoever wins that is going to get a one-way ticket to the playoffs. We'll see you guys next time on Hoop Talks. Is it time for another LeBron James playoff push? Will Rudy Gobert even play? The Wolves and Lakers take on tomorrow night for the play-in. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, LeBron James and the Lakers are about to enter another
Hold the phone here. You're actually talking about LeBron James.
Say a word.
Ladies and gentlemen, round of applause for Noor Zainab.
Listen, I cannot deny the greatness once he enters what we call the playoffs. And you know what?
I did that yesterday too against Utah. I put the crown on.
Well, yeah. I mean, everybody in the league should be scared right now. If I'm the Western Conference and the way the Western Conference is stacked up, he could jump. He could quadruple jump. He could pole vault over pretty much everybody. But they got super lucky in that they take on the Wolves as their first game. And I think this could be something that might have been easy to begin with. But after the events that transpired last night, I mean, if you're the Wolves, you would think, okay, last game of the season, most important game. Let me be professional, mature. Let me bring my best game. No, they're going to go fight each other on the bench at the game. Rudy Gobert is talking to Jaden McDaniels. Something's about to be said. He gets pissed off and we're going to see something get launched. And there's a punch. There's the punch. He fouls back. The whole team's angry. No one gives a shit about Gobert, though. He's just at the corner over there. And then right afterwards, Jaden McDaniels enters the tunnel and he punches the wall, fracturing his hand. Meaning, is he even going to be playing tomorrow? Will Rudy Gobert even play tomorrow? Will he get suspended? So, guys, let's make sense of this game tomorrow night.
First of all, Anyway,
social clip.
Minnesota might be the stupidest team in the world. Not only did they play the stupidest basketball last year in the playoffs against the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yes.
What the hell are the Minnesota Timberwolves doing?
I don't know, bro.
Nothing.
This team might be the most immature team ever. And it's crazy to me because Anthony Edwards is the best player on the team. And he's actually shown signs of maturity.
Yeah.
Right? Karl Anthony Townsend has 20 different voices that he does. Like, changes his voice depending on every situation. Nobody likes Rudy Gobert, right? No, I don't think his own teammates like him. I don't think anybody likes Rudy Gobert.
There's a tweet I saw. It was like, he's probably the only guy that's ever been part of any team group chats. Like, they probably actively
They said he was.
They said he was.
By the time the game was over, he sent, the message to the group chat. But, like, they sent him home mid-game, right? And then Jalen McDaniels, what are you doing? You are the best perimeter defender on the Minnesota Timberwolves. One of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA. Why did you find it? I don't care how heated you are. Why would you punch a wall? A wall has no give to it. There is no give on a wall.
You're just getting hurt. Like,
literally. And now he's out.
I don't know.
You literally he literally punched his season away.
Yeah. The most important game for your whole team. Like,
what are you doing? And for the Lakers side, the LeBron agenda, this sets up perfectly.
Yeah.
The Lakers are going to, I think they're 7-point favorites right now. Look, LeBron's been playing really, really good basketball. Again, the Lakers competition of late hasn't been the stiffest, but they've been winning games. Yep. And also, Jelani, they've been clicking ever since the trade deadline and they're playing their best basketball. And here's the biggest thing. They're playing defense once again, yeah, which is when they won the title in the bubble. That was their calling card, defense. And that's why I think the Lakers are the team nobody wants to really see in the Western Conference.
I agree. I think the Lakers, you know, they're playing well at the right time, right? And this is the time of year when you want to be playing well. And real quick on the Wolves, man. What do you say about the Wolves?
So dumb.
Like, what was going on in the Twin Cities yesterday, right? I don't know what, because... Gobert, look, I get it. You were called the B word. I get that, right? That's disrespectful, of course. Kyle Anderson, he doesn't really talk that much anyway, which right? Weird, so, yeah. They got after it. Get a rebound. How about you shoot? All that stuff, right? You don't want that on your sideline during that game when you need a win to get in these playing games. And then, as for McDaniels, why? Like, just why? Just why? For what? What do you gain? What do you gain out of that? And we've all been upset at times, right? But there's also something in your mind that tells you not to punch a wall, okay? Don't punch a wall. When you play basketball, you need your hands, right? So I don't get it. I don't get it. That's literally, like Justin said, their best defender.
Yeah.
Not even perimeter. That's their best defender, in my opinion. They need him.
Yeah.
They need him badly to get through this play-in tournament. And now you're looking at it like, I just don't get it. So the T-Wolves... they are a very talented team. They have talent over there in Minnesota. But I don't know if it's coaching under Chris Finch. I don't know if it's front office. I don't know if it's just the dudes, flat out just the guys. But something's going on over there. That culture needs a shift, okay? We see it through Anthony Edwards. I think they're on the come up for sure. Minnesota moving forward, they'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But I think at times we see a lack of understanding certain moments on the court. And off the court, now we're seeing this. So I think Minnesota needs, you know, to really think about why they've put themselves in this spot right now.
Go for it. No, go. I cut you off before.
First of all.
Continue. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, anyway. So for me, though, it's not just the fact that it's LeBron on the Lakers. They also got a piece of the Timberwolves in D'Angelo Russell. This guy used to play for the Wolves. And Vanderbilt, right? So, well, it's like almost a vindication game for these guys to be like, oh, you traded us out. And now look, we have the upper hand with the Lakers, with LeBron James. And you have to now contemplate between sitting Rudy Gobert or playing him and not having any of his teammates pass him the ball.
I think Gobert is probably going to play. I don't think that.
I think they're probably going to make him play for sure, too. But it's just the matter, like, to put yourself in that position already shows you just how insane the organization has been the entire year.
It's very dumb. And I think, look, some people I already saw on Twitter, they feel like LeBron has something to do with this. You know, McDaniel's choosing now to be an idiot. But I think, I really think the Lakers, though, they could be a player. I don't think they're going to do anything like in terms of a deep run. I don't see a deep run for the Lakers this season.
Can they beat Memphis?
They can. It's a possibility, right? I'd say that for sure, especially with no Steven Adams. Huge loss, right? So in this game, though, specifically, you're looking at the loss of Naz Reid. Shout out to the Reid family. Mm-hmm. He's not there, okay? So that's huge because he's been playing really, really well for Minnesota all year long. Right, McDaniels is out. We understand that. So that's your other perimeter defender, right? And I really think that Cat, he's got back, right? He's been playing well. He's had some good games, but he's still trying to get himself back, you know, to play these serious type of games. So this could be a perfect spot for the Lakers to show up. And you talked about it, Noor, how this is kind of a revenge game for some players on LA. I'm looking at the X factor being D'Lo. I think if D'Lo finds a way to obviously set the table, set the floor for these guys, get the offense really going, especially in transition, I think it's going to be a problem for Minnesota. And also, when he shoots the lights out, they become an even bigger problem. Yeah. That's LA. So
because that opens up spacing for Anthony Davis. I think having someone like Malik Beasley now, Jared Vanderbilt, especially D'Angelo Russell, takes so much pressure off of a guy like Anthony Davis because now there's so many contributors next to LeBron. It doesn't have to be solely Anthony Davis who now has to make his shot because LeBron's being doubled or triple team or, you know, the entire fucking team's on.
And I think AD is going to have a good game because so too, the lack of Reed inside, and I just think the matchup with no McDaniels that opens it up for it.
And I think like we're not gonna see a Rudy Gobert suspension. He probably will travel with the team because of exactly what you said. Naz Reed's out, right? They don't have they're not gonna play Karl-Anthony Towns.
Well, the NBA probably also wants to make sure that they're, you know, making the right guys play. Luka Doncic got his foul overturned that one time.
Yeah, that's true. Like I just think that when I look at the Lakers and I look at this team, the fresh blood that they got and the new found life they had, right? They've been playing a lot really good. And I want to see, I think LeBron has been rejuvenated. I think you're seeing him playing with that passion and that happiness that, you know, makes him the best player we've ever seen, right? In this generation, excuse me. But the Lakers, the other thing for the Lakers is this. They've been getting a lot of praise lately, and I hope that doesn't get to their head and they take the Timberwolves lightly, because the Lakers have been notorious over the last couple of years to letting their foot off the gas pedal at certain times and they get beat. Remember what happened in the first playing game against the Warriors, right? They lost that game. Oh, no, sorry. They won that one. They won that game, but it was a close game, right? And I think when I look at the Lakers, you really want to see them stay dialed in, because this is a team that has been notorious to letting their foot off the gas pedal and then getting got. If the Lakers, they're the favorites, everybody expects them to win, everybody thinks they'll win, they still have to go out there and win the game, right? That is true. And I think LeBron will have them ready, but I need to see Anthony Davis show up as well. I need to see it. He's been playing great the last month. We need to see Anthony Davis continue this heading into the playoffs. That is the most important
thing. If the Lakers want to do anything remotely close to a run, a type of run in the West, wide open West, right? He's got to be 2020 bubble AD. Yeah. That's what I want. Mm-hmm. If you're telling me the Lakers can do something, LeBron, I get it. He's going to do what he's got to do. But AD has to be that guy. He just has to.
I think if you asked me pre-trade deadline version of the Lakers, I'd say absolutely not. It's not happening. But I think this team just looks like a different team now, having brought in those pieces. And those pieces, they need it. A defense, someone on the defending end. You needed a wing there. You also needed someone who can handle the ball, who can take the pressure off of everybody else, who can shoot, and D'Angelo Russell. And then Malik Beasley, just a three-point threat from that point as well. So I think they're made to be. They might not go super far, but I do think they might at least take first round against anybody else. I think so. Yeah. I think it's LeBron.
Imagine,
like, it's hard not to
knock out the Grizzlies in the first round. How poetic would that be?
Honestly, I don't mind. I don't mind that.
I think we all
I think everybody across NBA landscapes wouldn't mind seeing the Memphis Grizzlies get knocked out in the first round.
Well, hell hath frozen, the pigs are flying, the grass is blue, something's not right, because Nor Zainab is on the Lakers payroll right now. I think they might go far. I'm rooting for them. This has been Hoop Talks. We'll see you guys next time, right before the Raptors take on the Bulls.